Before we stand up to pray together, I would like to read the Word of God from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, the words of our Lord, from verse 35 onwards. Let us read. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sees me, sees him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Up to here, these precious and holy words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think that in these words, people in those days were called to believe in the Lord, to believe in the light, to believe in the salvation that was given to them by grace. And as we have read here, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Is it not strange, dear brothers and sisters? They have seen the greatest miracles, the most marvelous things ever done by man. They were done before them. and they were eyewitnesses, and yet it is written they did not believe. But we have also read why they did not believe. Dear brothers and sisters, I don't know, but when it comes to faith and the words that were spoken in those days, and the Lord says, and if anyone hears my words and does not obey them, I think we have heard his words in these days. We have heard him speak, and I think we should be among those who obey his words, who believe his word, receive it, take it to heart, and live fully by it. May God grant us grace to be those, that not the word is fulfilled in us as it was with them, even though they heard much, they saw much, and yet did not believe. Dear brothers and sisters, let us come before the Lord in faith and trust, whatever may come, even if we do not see signs and wonders, but we believe the word that he has addressed to us in these last days. But I think the Lord has not failed to give his word, and he has not failed to let signs and wonders take place, even in our days, as in the beginning. And we cannot tell him what to do, but let us persevere in the word. Let us remain in the light of the word, into which he has led us. And let us hold fast to the word, so that we know where we have to go. He who does not walk in the light does not know where he is going. But let us walk in the light, so that we know where we are going. Praise and thanks be to his glorious name. And so, brothers and sisters, we have come tonight to offer honor and praise to his glorious name. Let us rise together and worship him and ask for his blessing. Faithful Lord, we are gathered here again this evening in the name of our Lord Jesus. We thank you with all our hearts for your precious and holy word, which you proclaimed in those days. And faithful Lord, how few have obeyed it, and how few have believed. Lord, we see that even in our days, there are few who believe your word, even though you have performed mighty signs and wonders, even though you have shown yourself to be mighty. There are just a few, Lord, but give grace, Lord, to those who believe. O Lord, give grace to those who remain. O faithful God, we pray to you, give me grace, give us all grace, Lord, in these days, Lord, that we may lift up our eyes to you, and that we may hold fast, Lord, to what you have spoken, Lord. For your word is spirit and life, Lord, just as you have said. For I have not spoken of my own, but the Father who is in me. Yes, my God, we believe you with all our heart. And you have carried out to commission, O Lord, and have accomplished what you were sent to do. Let us also, Lord, carry out what we were sent to do, Lord. And you have said so marvelously that this commission means eternal life. O Lord, thank you that we may believe with all our hearts that you have given us eternal life. Praise be to you, and thanks be to you. Continue to be with us, Lord, even now in this hour, and bless all who are here tonight, and bless even those who cannot be here, Lord. We believe you and trust you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are grateful to the Lord. Today was a marvelous day for us. I'm sure you noticed, it was in the newspaper on Saturday, that our two sisters from Iraq had a few problems, especially one of them. And you know that when someone gets into the mills of the German courts and guardianship courts and authorities, they grind. But with God's help, He showed us the right path. We took it. And today, the mother is already in possession of her child. This is an absolute miracle. We still can't believe it. The first hearing was at 8 o'clock this morning. And I was the judge at this hearing. Yes, that's how it was. And the juvenile court judge and everyone involved listened. And that was very good. And this afternoon, we picked up the child and we want to dedicate it to the Lord this evening. Our sister, all three of us, were on our knees. When was it? Last night. The sister, when she was younger, always went to the meetings and served the Lord. And then, like all of us, she went her own way a bit. And she knows that the Lord is leading her back to His path with power. And I said to her, look, you are a mom. And you are worried about your child. You are struggling. You want to have it because you are a mom. And I say, what about God? He is your father. And He is even more concerned about you. Understand what God has in mind for you. And this sister sitting there is a very dear child of God. That is true. And all three of us knelt and prayed, and the presence of the Lord was there. And so we will consecrate the child to the Lord today and believe that it is blessed. The mother spoke to the child's father today, and God willing, they will soon be together. We cannot go into details. Sometimes the paths are a little different, as they generally are, but the path has led them back to the Lord. And then you no longer ask why and so forth. You just give thanks for the Lord's wonderful guidance. Then today, a sister is here for the first time. She's sitting here at the front with our Italian brother. And she has heard that we are praying for the sick. And we do this with conviction and with all our hearts. And we believe that God stands by His word. If I am not mistaken, the sister from Czechoslovakia, who is sitting there, was healed some time ago of cancer in her head or something similar. She probably has a different concern now. And when we pray afterwards, let those come forward who have faith and know that the Lord stands by His word. We have already read in the Gospel of John that many did not believe despite the miracles. And there are people who believe in miracles even in this time. But believing in miracles has never saved anyone. Believing in Jesus Christ and in the power of God, through which salvation, healing and miracles of grace happen, that's the right thing. Many will be more than surprised by believing in miracles on the appointed day, because they are not where they thought they would be. The biblical order is not only the best, but the only right one. We do not believe in miracles. We believe in God, who stands by His word and who is able to perform miracles. We believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that He cannot deny Himself, that He cannot change, and that He stands by His word. May God make this word, which we have re-listened to attentively, a blessing for us. Perhaps we will look at it briefly and then pray. Here, in the Gospel of John, we have all read along in chapter 12, but I'm just reminded now of this. I see the sister, she has a scarf over her head. It could be that she is thinking in her heart, when she looks a little to the right, that our sisters here are without head coverings. Don't let it seem strange to you, because a scarf is not prescribed in the Bible. In fact, it literally says that long hair is given to the woman for a covering or veil. I know that in all of Eastern Europe, everywhere, whether in Yugoslavia, whether in Czechoslovakia, whether in Russia, wherever, all the way to India, people everywhere have a head covering, but it is a Catholic custom and not a biblical teaching. I am saying this so that your faith is not saddened, sister, so that you don't think, wait a minute, if they don't do what God says, how can God answer? But they are doing according to the word of God, as far as they can. And I'm giving you both the scriptures, so you can read them. And I'm only doing it to clear up an obstacle, so that nothing stands in the way of your faith. I didn't want to mention this, and yet I was reminded. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3 says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. From this one verse, if there were no second, everyone would have the right to put a headscarf or a handkerchief or a scarf or a cloak over his head. But verses 12 and 13 must then be read in relation to this verse. And here it says from verse 13, judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. That is God's word. We cannot say anything else. Anyone can wear a hat. Anyone can wear a headscarf, can they? You can all do that, however you like. But if you want to fulfill the word of God, let your hair grow long. For just as the feet were given for walking, the ears for hearing, and the eyes for seeing, so the woman's long hair was given for a covering. I can't put my feet in my pocket and walk. It doesn't work. The long hair was given to the woman for a covering. Just to help your faith, dear sister, to clear up the obstacle so beautifully on the very first evening with God's help. It was done in love, and that is how it will have been received. Here, in the Gospel of John, we have heard precious thoughts. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." The faith of a believer is always faith in the one true God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It goes on to say, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Oh, that this word would apply to me and to us who preach the word of the Lord. That we are not the speakers, but that God could speak and act through me and through you who handle his word and stand in his commission. Because only in this way we will be able to stand our ground before God. Jesus, as the Son of Man, he was a prophet, and as a prophet he was sent, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled through him. In this way, he prayed, wrestled, pleaded. He was human and was made in the likeness of men. God was in him. God is spirit. And as spirit, God took dwelling in this body of flesh. And therefore, our Lord could say, "Whoever hears me does not hear me, but him who sent me. And whoever sees me does not see me, but him who sent me. Yes, he could say, he who sees me sees the Father. He proclaimed the word and said, I have not come to judge, but to save, to redeem, to bring grace and salvation. But he announces that whoever does not believe his word will not be judged by him on the last day, but by the word he preached. This is also a very important statement. And then comes the most important one, which is, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Not just signs and wonders, not just healings, not just teaching, not just parables, but the sum of it all, eternal life for those who believe in the Son of God, that he is our Savior and Redeemer. A real commission from God is not just a teaching, not just a knowledge, not just a new fellowship movement, but divine teaching, fellowship with God, and eternal life for those who accept the proclamation of the Word of God. And that is a very definite characteristic of a direct proclamation on God's behalf. You can see that very soon, and especially in these days, when people are actually specializing in all sorts of things. And I'm quite frank, I don't know how to categorize what they say, but a person who loses sight of the salvation of souls and salvation of humanity and throws himself into special knowledge and his own teachings will perish and will not show a single soul the way to Christ. And the zeal and everything that belongs to God's commission, namely the proclamation of salvation and redemption, will then be lost. And that is why I am not really surprised when I read this word and think about the fact that all those who have deviated from the Word of God, even if they refer to the great ministry of a prophet of God, but give in to their own thoughts, that they say the time of grace has already come to an end and many other things. And here we read, and I know that his commission means eternal life. There is no divine commission that is only based or supported on a special revelation, knowledge, or teaching. But the main thing in a divine commission is that people enter the kingdom of God and receive eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, we can all say amen to that, because that's the way it is. It goes on to say, whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Not just an assumption, But words of God have been proclaimed by the Lord, by all the prophets. And Paul writes, you received the word which we preached unto you, not as the word of men, but as the word of God, which indeed it is. And this is not just a statement, but these words have divine weight. And when he says in Galatians 1 that the gospel which was preached of me, I neither received it of man, nor was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, then that is quite different from what men think they have to do. Two scriptures belong to this verse in which it is written, and he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Let's turn to chapter 17. And here it says, of eternal life. Chapter 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I was thinking just a moment ago, and I said it quietly to myself, people who have only heard of God do not know him, and he does not know them either. But people whom he has called, to whom he has spoken, to whom he has revealed himself, they are recognized by him, and they have also recognized him at the same time. Now imagine this. If eternal life, as this verse says here, depends on us recognizing the connection with God and Christ, for thus it is written here, and this is life eternal. You all know the arguments. For us, there is no argument at all. But it is a marvelous revelation of the living God, which has been given to us by grace. We know him, the only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all the prophets, indeed the only God there is. And we know Jesus Christ, our Lord, whom he sent, in whom he took on human form, in whom he reconciled us to himself. We see that God had to reveal himself in the flesh in order to redeem us who are in the flesh, yet he remains God for all eternity. Another word that also belongs to this, and which truly needs no interpretation, is in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and here it says, from verse 19, and we know that we are of God. Yes, correct. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, it says, that they may know you, the only true God. And here we read, and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Anyone who feels like thinking about this a little, or perhaps has questions, ask them to the apostles and the Lord. We believe every word as it is written. I would like to turn very briefly to Luke chapter 18. In the context of dedicating little children, the word here became great to me. And then also what comes before and what comes after. As you know, our Lord had an extensive ministry. Basically, He didn't specialize in anything, but He basically carried out every ministry. When healing was needed, He healed. He raised the dead. He healed lepers. He gave sight to the blind. He healed the sick. He rebuked the Pharisees. In every situation, His ministry was not one-sided. It was so extensive. It included everything. Sometimes, brothers have a very specific ministry, and someone asked me, was it in Norway or Finland on my last trip, if it was right that people all fall down when a certain evangelist touches them? And I asked, do they really all fall down? From the first to the last, they all fall down. Yes, I said, then they are already going to the front with a thought and expectation that they will fall over. And he went on to ask, is that the power of God? I said, the power of God doesn't knock anyone down. The power of God lifts us up. But these are things that people handle. And really, if 100 people, I've watched it myself, now in Norway, every now and then I'm somewhere, I'm not telling you always, but every now and then I see what's being done on the religious market. And really, the evangelists, they hold out their hands and people fall over. But there are women and men at the back who catch them and put them down very gently. Nobody falls over completely. They don't take this risk. They've already made the preparations. You can tell that they don't trust God too much, because they are standing at the back to catch them. And then they wait at the fall. I was watching it. Then they are picked up very gently, like a baby being laid down nicely. And then others pick them up again to make room for the next ones. And that's how the evening progresses. But none of this has anything to do with God and His Word. And you would be amazed. There was a man who is now already with the Lord. And he was a very great miracle man. And God performed the greatest signs and wonders. And the man himself was a deceiver. And I knew the man who had confronted him. There came a man who had no legs. He only had the stumps over his knees, and they brought him in. And this good man looks at him and says, "How tall do you want to be? Your legs will be the same length." And he says, "Let's say 1.78 meters, just to give a number here." And he says, "All right, you shall be 1.78 meters. The brothers buy a suit. They put this man in the suit and bring him here. And believe it or not, in the film you see this man's legs grow long and the suit fits perfectly, trousers and all. And the whole thing was trick shots and had nothing to do with truth or reality." And when the one employee left, he said to him, "Listen, why did you do that? It's not right before God." And then he said, "Do you think people would have believed if it hadn't been done like that? On that day, many will come and say many things. We can do without all that. There will be no tricks here and nothing unless God does it. And we do not wait in vain. Our God still has the same power today." Here we see, if we open the chapters one after the other, the Lord has forgiven sins, delivered the possessed, healed the sick, blessed the children. In fact, he did everything that was brought to him. And when this thought became great to me, I thought, "O faithful Lord, if only you could do such an extensive ministry through your body, through the church, in these last days, covering every area." Look, here at the beginning of chapter 18, or maybe just to read verses 6 and 7, or just 7 alone, here it says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find such faith on the earth?" Not just faith, but faith in him and in his word. He will avenge his own elect. This is one thought. Now directly in verse 9 we read, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." We all know this prayer, and we realize how our Lord changed the subject, how he did justice to all his listeners, how he knew how to say to the proud what was due to them, to the humble to exalt them, to the proud to humble them, to the sick to heal them, to the lost to save them. Every day of his ministry, our Lord knew what to say and what to do to meet the needs of his listeners. And such a ministry I wish for myself and for us by grace, that the Lord could meet all needs. How beautifully it has been formulated here. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Yes, that is certainly no longer the case today, but it is also no less so. And he told them the following parable. He didn't go to anyone personally and say, "Listen, you are so and so. You look down on others. I will give you a dressing down." No, he wrapped the whole thing up nicely in a parable and then passed the parcel on so that people could open it up and be surprised, because the following parable is written here. Wherever there is talk of a parable, the right content is wrapped up in this parable. And then we also know that the one here, as it says, he beat his chest. The tax collector, on the other hand, stood at a distance. He didn't come to the altar. He stayed right at the back. When he heard him praying, he was devastated. And when he had finished, he just looked from a distance and smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted." Immediately after this comes the blessing of the children. "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. The Lord has already connected a great lesson with the blessing of the children and the reaction of the disciples. He did not say, "Listen, what are you doing?" and preach a moral sermon. But he said, "Listen, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child." What was it? The mothers had recognized that the Lord is able to bless, heal, save, and help. And they pushed themselves. They wanted the Lord to bless their children. And to this day, real mothers want their children to be blessed with the blessing of the living God. People brought their little children so that he could touch them and bless them. The disciples thought to themselves, "He has enough other things to do. What do the children understand?" It wasn't about understanding. It was about blessing them, consecrating them to God. And the Lord gives the adults the lesson and says, "If you don't receive the kingdom of God like these children, then you will certainly not enter it." They had their own reasoning, but this was about consecration, about blessing, about belonging to God. And that's what the Lord did back then, and lets us know the lesson. For of such is the kingdom of God. Just as the heart of a mother brings the child to the Lord, if we bring people into the kingdom of God in this way. Feel for them as a mother feels for her child. Have we understood the meaning? It's not so high up that everyone can see it. It's a little hidden. Read what it says here. Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Did the little children come alone? They were brought either by their parents or by their mothers. We would like people to be born into the kingdom of God, but they have to sit on the chairs first. They have to be brought in first. These children have been brought by their mothers, so that the Lord may consecrate them, so that he may bless them. And he literally says here, Do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of God. They were brought in. They were brought with one desire in their hearts. The Lord, who has already blessed many, may he bless them. That is the basic idea, not just that we bless children, for of such is the kingdom of God. In this way, people must be brought into the kingdom of God under prayer and brought to the Lord so that he can save them, bless them, even consecrate them to himself. This is included here. The children were brought. They did not come alone. They were carried to the Lord. He accepted them and blessed them. And it says here, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. May the Lord once again grant us grace that we might become human beings. As Brother Branham describes in these two sermons, he expresses the thought and asks, Where does the seed come from? And he says, The seed reproduces itself through the body, and the body is the church. So, God wants to use the church to plant the seed of His Word, to call people to receive this seed into their hearts and penetrate to a new life with God. The Lord will give us all this. How wonderful that we can read God's Word with an open heart, with inner agreement, that we go along with it inwardly and say, Lord, today you have spoken to me through your Word and through your Spirit. You want to do something with me, with us. We are as clumsy as can be, and almost have to say like Mary, How can this be done? I don't know anything. Yes, we know nothing, but we know the one who knows everything. He who knows about our need, about our condition, who knows us as thoroughly as we do not know ourselves. He who tries our hearts and reins. And he says, I will come to your aid. I will do it in you. Our Lord said, It is not I who do these works, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works. When we bless a child today, when we pray for the sick, we are not doing anything. We only pray. The doing comes from God. The salvation, the healing, the blessing, the consecration, everything comes from God. But we bring people to the Lord. Just as mothers brought their children to the Lord back then, so we bring all those who are or want to become children of God to the Lord, and we carry them on hands of prayer before His throne of grace and say, Lord, we now bring you this child, this sister, this brother. You know what everyone needs. We carry the people before the Lord. We bring them to Him. He saves. He heals. He delivers. He blesses. He consecrates. But we, you and I, we have to bring these people who somehow want to follow the Lord. We have to bring them to Him in faith, on hands of prayer. Then everything will go well. No one should be in our midst who might say, huh, that's not right. No one should hinder anyone. At that time, the disciples meant well. They wanted to hinder them. And the Lord rebuffed them and said, just a moment, for of such is the kingdom of God. Let them come to me. A person from the street can come here. The greatest sinner can come here. Anyone can come here, from the smallest to the greatest. And we will not refuse anyone. We will bring them all to the Lord and pray for them. And only then we will have the right attitude. Why did the Lord, right before that, give the parable of the self-righteous man who looks down on others? Such people would not even come to bring someone to the Lord. They do their prayers according to good measure, and then they are done, thinking of others and not of the Lord. People who have really been pardoned do not think of others in prayer by looking down on them. Instead, they think of the Lord by looking up to Him in faith. And that is what we want to do tonight.